I'm ready for the word. Amen. All right, we're going to look at Romans chapter 8. And I looked at the time. I think we got a good couple hours here, so that'll be good. If your food's in the crock pot, it'll be okay. And anyway, Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 5. This is from the NIV version. Paul's writing this, so those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Verse 7. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Verse 8. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9. Now remember, Paul is writing this to the believers there in Rome. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God, watch this, lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. That's what the Word says. Verse 10, but if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Meaning you have been made right before God. Guess what? It's His righteousness. It's not anything of ours, is it? Verse 11, and if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. All right. Walking in the Spirit. It's the title of my message today. I'm excited about this word. I just got to tell you about it. It is commonly believed in Christian circles that once you are saved and become a follower of Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 8 can be one of the most important chapters in the Bible as it speaks about living life on a daily basis through the Spirit. The book of Romans was written by Paul as a letter to the Christian church in Rome. There was much theological confusion within the early church, and Paul's aim then was to bring unity to the body and clarify the gospel, especially concerning the relationship between the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers. So, in the first seven chapters of Romans, Paul is making this big theological argument himself. And he's showing how all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And then he proves first that the Gentiles, even though they have a consciousness about them, or we could say principles, they violated those principles. They saw God from creation. They knew there was a God. Yet they turned away from God, from worshiping the living God. They made statues of animals and birds out of wood and stone to worship. And we find they also worshiped the stars. They worshiped the sun, the moon. And again, they turned away from God. What were they doing? They were worshiping the creation rather than the Creator. And so in Romans chapter 1, verse 24, Paul writes, God gave them over to their sinful desires because they turned away from Him. They went even further off the rails if you could say. They turn to vile things and to horrible perversion. And then here is the Jewish person comes along saying, well, thank God, I'm not like that. I have the scriptures, Brother Tony. I have the Torah, the first five books of the Bible written by Moses to go by. And I'm a child of Abraham, child of Isaac and Jacob. And so we see then in chapters 2 and 3, Paul turns it on them. Paul, being a Jew himself, he says, okay, that's true. You have the Word of God, but do you obey it? He was pretty blunt. What's the sense of celebrating the fact that you have the Word of God and you know it if you don't obey it? So you who preach to other people don't lie? Of course they do. He's arguing his case, and then he goes to prove that the Jew who has the law is just as guilty as the Gentile who didn't receive the law from Moses. In chapter 3 and verse 9, he says, Jews and Gentiles are under the power of sin. So he says the whole purpose of it is to make every mouth be quiet and everyone guilty before the Lord. So there's no arguments and there's no more justification. You can't say you're right and he's wrong. Can't do all that. It's just everyone be still and say, I'm guilty. And now God can show his mercy to us. And guess what? God can only show mercy when you and I admit we're guilty. Lord, I'm sorry. I did it. I repent. And as long as I'm justifying my actions and giving excuses, here's what happens. I am holding back the mercy and healing of God in my life. There's no reason for us to make excuses. Guess what? He already knows what we've done, what we've said. He wants to hear it from us. I'm ready to do for you. What are you going to do? He's ready, waiting for you to admit your guilt. So then Paul also faces the dilemma of how strong the flesh is in us. Even when our conscience tells us that we should do certain things, he says, you know, there's another principle working in us, which he calls the flesh. And it brings us into situations like he goes ahead and describes in chapter 7, which is the thing I want to do, I don't do. And the thing I say I'll never do, that's what I do. Well, let me ask you, how in the world can that be? I say I'm not going to do that, and then there's something in me that says, no, go ahead and do it. But in my mind, I go, no, that's wrong. I'm not going to do that. Yet there's another voice in me, another power, another principle saying, oh, it's okay. Go ahead and gratify yourself. Don't obey God. Go ahead and spend the money on that. You can just pay it out, high interest. It won't hurt. 72 months, it'll be okay. 108 months. And then he ends up almost as an enlightened person, as a believer fighting the fight of the flesh and the spirit. And he says then, who will deliver me from this thing? In Romans chapter 7 and verse 24, Paul writes this, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? And then in verse 25, here's what he writes. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. So we see here Paul gives thanks to God for Jesus Christ, who has come and solved both of the problems. The problems from the past, he pardoned by dying on the cross. In fact, he pardoned all of our back history. Thank you, Jesus. We need to be reminded of this. There's no sin you and I have ever committed, no matter how far back or how recent, that isn't washed by the blood of the Lamb. I mean, it's been obliterated. There's no record of it. We are free. We are clean. We are innocent. We are justified and we're made right in God's sight. That's worth shouting about. Amen? So it's a slap in God's face when, after 20 years, you say, "Lord, I'm sorry I did that back then." What? What? What did you do? And of course, we know the devil can't read the future. He goes by what we did in the past. He's seen it. And so what does he do? He reminds us of our past. But praise God, we can remind him of his future. Amen. Now, he faces the other dilemma of how about living the rest of your life? How do you live your life as a Christian now that you are born again? How do you live it in a way pleasing to God and that will leave a good testimony? So we pick up again from our text in Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. We're going to unpack it. In other words, well, now those who live according to the flesh, that's how he starts it, verse 5. In other words, their decisions and their life, what their very atmosphere is surrounded by and controlled by, what is their circle of influence, who do they hang around with? They live in the atmosphere of desires and gratification of those things. Watch this now. There's those desires to get angry. There's those sexual and immoral desires. There's those desires to get high. Desires to hate and argue. Always confrontational. They live in that realm of the flesh, promoting all of those things and a lot more, even worse. And understand, if you open the door to anger and want to always have the last word, then guess what's going to happen? All of their cousins and nieces and nephews, all kinds of imps are going to latch on to their heel and come on in into your life. Why? Because you opened the door to anger, and he's not alone. So in verse 5 of chapter 8, he says, those who live in the flesh, they have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. He's simply saying those who live and follow their lower nature, meaning their flesh, they have their thoughts shaped by their flesh. They just naturally think of fleshly, carnal things that are not good. Well, that's just the natural way of things. Why is that? Because that's where they're receiving their impulses from. And let me tell you, it's okay to talk about politics or sports. It's okay to talk about who's leading in the playoffs. Or it's even okay to talk about the latest sale at JCPenney's. Our sweet little lady at church we used to go to, call it JCPenney. She didn't want anybody to know she bought them for JCPenney's. It was JCPenney. Or the latest trend, you know, on social media. They all have their place in the world and in our culture. Yet, understand, as a believer, we are not to let those worldly things dominate and rule our thought life. Do you understand what I'm saying? That shouldn't be 24/7 of what the president is doing or not doing. Amen. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. So the thoughts then are coming into their mind from what the flesh says. Well, that's what you should get. The Joneses next door, they have one. Well, that's what you need. Go ahead and get you one. But the Spirit then is sending His desire into us when we're believers of that, and He's saying, no, that's not what pleases God. Don't do that. What you're to do is to love that person. Don't talk about that person. You pray for them. Help that person. Get out on the street. Be salt and light in a dark world. Share your testimony. Everybody's got a story. Don't be ensnared by the things of the world. God is our provider, and He already knows what we're needing in our lives. Amen. Understand with me, everyone's going to have desires. That's just it. But it's where the desires come from. Guess what? Everyone's going to have thoughts. You got to have thoughts. Your head can't be empty. I have to think about that a little bit. It's like that truck driver got stopped by the state trooper. State trooper asked, what have you got in there? He says, sailboat fuel. Sailboat fuel. He said, oh, really? He said, yeah. He said, well, open up. Let me look. Opens up. There's nothing in there. It's all air. Sailboat fuel. So who's sending those thoughts? Very rarely do we hardly think about it. We just think, okay, that's in my head. But guess what? We really do have to decipher it. In fact, guess what? We better decipher those thoughts in our head. Is this thought coming from the Lord? Am I being led by the Holy Spirit? Am I being guided by the Spirit today? Or is this from the old me stuff? Because if it's from the old me, guess what? He's a mess and he'll never change. Amen. And I really hope we get this down in our spirit this morning. Watch this. God will never change who you are by working with who you are. Now that sounds strange. God will never change who you are by working with who you are. In other words, He doesn't work with the old me. That guy is hopeless. That old me is hopeless. But here's what He does. He works by putting His Spirit inside of us so we can become what He wants us to be. Amen. That's how the Lord works. Amen. We are a work in progress until we either die or Jesus returns to take us back alive with Him for all eternity. Amen? I guess I'm the only one. I'm a work in progress. He's changing me by having someone else, that being His Holy Spirit, living inside of me, and then live through me. And that's good news. Did you know that? Him working through us is good news. So if you're here today and you're struggling, maybe with some besetting sin or a habit that has literally ensnared you, and you're trying to stop, guess what? Stop trying. Would you look at somebody and tell them, just stop trying. You're not going to change it on your own. Oh no, Pastor, I'm really going to make a promise today to not do that anymore. Don't say that, because you'll break it within 24 hours. Trust God and what He says. Sister Judy, the word is trust, just like you said. In the flesh dwelleth no good thing. Can you say amen to that? And yes, guess what? That's hard for us because we're proud beings. Brother Tony, we're pretty proud. We're proud, and yes, guess what? We want to justify ourselves why we did what we did. But He's saying now, here's the way to walk. You can have a different life by walking and being guided by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, and being yielded then to His Spirit each and every day. And yes, our spirit man is reborn at the moment we surrender and give our heart to the Lord. But it's a continual working at renewing our soul. That's our mind, will, and emotions. And that's why we stay in the Word of God, so He can wash over us on a daily basis. That's why we need to make the time to just give God that time of praise and thanksgiving also each day. Because what happens is that puts you in a place to where the Spirit can just talk to you and guide you and help you. As you're feeding on His Word, you can receive that needed download of wisdom and the discernment that He already knows you're going to need on that particular day. And so instead of struggling through life, you're now walking through life with an assurance, Sister Brenda, that it's going to be okay. He's right there with you in the storm. There's no need to live in fear. Here's how to solve the problem. Quit fretting over it. Quit worrying about it. He's living within you. Amen. All right, let me take a break. I'm almost through. About another hour. The Holy Spirit will even let you know what lies ahead in your day that you will face and you can be ready. Amen. You might get up and say, don't go that way to work. Why don't you wait a little bit? Take a few minutes. Play with the kids for a second. Unknowing, down the road there's been a wreck. And if you'd have headed out the first time and just not listened to that little voice, guess what? You'd have probably been right there in it. And yes, the Spirit is giving us new ideas or new desires. How many would like to have more Holy Spirit desires running through your life than those old fleshly desires? Amen. I want them. I want some Holy Spirit desires. And guess what? Think of the trouble that we'd get out of by having His Holy Spirit desires. I wouldn't put myself in the goat's way. He couldn't back up to me. So he goes on then to say in verse 7, the mind governed by the flesh is dead. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Oh my gosh. So if I'm going to follow my thoughts from the flesh, if I'm going to let those fleshly desires control my thoughts, I'm going to find, guess what, that I'm headed nowhere very quickly. And that's going to end in death and a separation from Almighty God. Because the natural person doesn't want the things of God. You can't change that in you. We don't want God naturally. God has to come in and change us. And yes, take the blinders off of our eyes as only He can do before we can desire after Him. And guess what? That's what the gospel, the power of the gospel does. It takes the blinders off of our eyes and off of people's eyes so they can see the truth. Amen. Power of the gospel. So now, we go to the mind. Verse 8. Our thought life governed by the flesh, it's hostile to God. It does not submit to God, God's law, nor can it do so. Listen, when a person is in a backslidden state of mind and spirit, guess what? They don't want to read the Bible. Why? Because of what it would say about how they're living. And they don't want to even hear it talked about. Because their natural man cannot stand spiritual things. The old me doesn't want to know about Jesus Christ. He wants to know about himself. Why? There again, pride and selfishness. Yet when we reach that place of needing God and we know it, we begin to admit, I can't change my life on my own. Brother Roy, I could never change my life on my own. It had to be God. And then what we've done, we've opened the door then for the Holy Spirit to come in and begin a new work in us, in me. But we have to recognize our need. And that's how we should pray sometimes. All of us have wayward family members. Lord, open, take the blinders off of their eyes. Let them see their need for you. They're so blind, they're going in the opposite direction. Hold on. Jesus' name. But we have to recognize our need. We have to get to that place and declare, no, my old smoky, lying, conniving mind is not on the throne anymore. Amen. I have a Holy Ghost mind. Brother David, I have a Holy Ghost mind. Jesus is on the throne of my life. I don't have to be led another day by that old worldly, carnal mind. I don't have to do it. Before, guess what? There was no one else but me. Me, myself, and I. And you got to know, those were three bad amigos. They were all bad, I'm telling you. But guess what? Now Christ lives in me. Praise God. So he goes on to say in verse 8, now those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. As long as I'm walking in my natural strength, you can't please God in the flesh, because the flesh, as Paul writes in Galatians, it fights against the spirit. The spirit fights against the flesh. They are opposed to each other. The flesh is hostile to God and cannot please God. Because even when we try to please God, guess what's going to happen? The flesh will do it. He'll do it like this. Oh, let me go and do that good work so my name will get mentioned and everybody's going to know I did it. Oh, my. And guess what? That does not please God. Understand, only the Spirit can make us do it for Christ. The flesh messes up everything. And sadly, there are those sweet, churchy folks, and they seem to live life. I don't know if you've ever come across these kind of folks. They live life aggravated with everything and everyone. And they are open about it in their fleshly attitudes and their practices. Others are more subtle. And yes, people can go to church and guess what? Be in the flesh. No, Pastor, now you're meddling. And you know it, because it surfaces usually the minute you attempt to bring understanding and correction in that situation. Something happens that rubs against the flesh, and then you see the reaction. And guess what happens? They try to justify their actions. And no, I'm not going to camp out there. I'm going to move on down the trail. Okay? The Spirit-led person is like what the psalmist wrote in Psalms 141 and verse 5, talking about the righteous man. Correction or rebuke is like oil on their head. I want to be like that, Brother Roy. But when you're walking in the Spirit and you have a little bigger picture than yourself, and you want to be pleasing to God, then our prayer should be, okay, come on with it, Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, teach me how to do things a lot better. Help me to stay surrendered. Help me to stay faithful. Help me to stay accountable. Help me to stay teachable. And guess what? God will bring then people into our lives and use people in our lives to correct us and to help us if we will let them. Amen? Sadly, there are those who will never surrender, and they know more than everybody, and they spend their lives going from one place to the next, looking through the fence for greener pastures. How sad is that? Verse 9. So now you, however, here we go. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh. Praise God. Remember, he's writing to the Christians, to the church there in Rome. You're not in the realm of the flesh, but you're in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. So let's unpack this part. You, however, remember, Paul is writing again to the believers. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh. You don't live anymore under the control of that old, selfish, prideful, angry person. That's not us. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. Where? In you. In you. So here's then is the essence of my message today. The Word of God tells us that the Spirit of God lives where? In us. All believers have the Spirit of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus went away and He sent the Spirit not to be around us to tickle us, but to live where? Again, inside of us. To be our helper and our guide. Every Christian then is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I don't care what you feel or you don't feel. God lives in you. If you're a believer right now, God Almighty is living inside of you. But Pastor, I still struggle. I'm not what I want to be. I understand. But the Spirit of God still lives in you, or you're not a Christian. If you haven't been born again with the Spirit of God now living in you, you are not a believer. We've just read that in the Word. Because the next part of verse 9 says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, talking about the Holy Spirit, they do not belong to Christ. So that's the joy that we have today. We are Christians. We are disciples of Christ. We are believers. We're children of the Most High God. We've been grafted into the family of God. And to prove it, God gave us a down payment. It's called the gift of salvation. What's waiting in heaven, we can't even imagine. But God gave us a down payment. When you buy something like a car or a home, guess what? You have to put an escrow down or a down payment, earnest money on it. Paul wrote this recorded for us. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, verse 22, set His seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Now I think the King James says earnest. Like earnest money. He had put that earnest. But it's a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. In other words, God gave us a down payment of the Holy Spirit that guarantees I now belong to Jesus and I'm going to a place He has made ready so I can spend all of eternity with Him. And the Holy Spirit then living inside of me bears witness with my human spirit and says, you're one of His. You're in the family of God. How many have had that witness of the Holy Spirit bearing witness with your spirit? Amen. Amen. We all have. Guess what? It's not. I don't want to burst anybody's bubble. It's not about joining a church or signing a card. It's not about reading the Bible and praying three times a day that makes you a Christian. It's not about trying to live a good life. Those are all necessary and they help along the way. Yet that is not what Christianity is about. Christianity is totally supernatural. Jesus was born a virgin, died on a cross, bore the sins of the world, rose again the third day, stayed around for 40 more days, showed himself to some 500 more folks, and then he returned to heaven. And guess what? The miracles continue. The Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of every believer who has repented and surrendered their lives to Jesus, accepted what he did for them on Calvary, and has made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior. Paul uses that several times and says, watch how you take care of your body, because that's where the Holy Spirit dwells and lives. Be careful what you look at, because the Holy Spirit is looking at it with you. Now, that ought to make us think first before we press that particular app on our phone or visit that particular website on our iPad. I'm telling the truth. He listens and, watch this, he listens and watches every text or message that we post on social media. Why? Because he's on the inside of you and me. He's watching everything you do. So the best advice that I could give, or that we could all receive, is think before you repost something on social media. Check the meaning, look at the words, and even the pictures. Guard your spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you and me, and we represent Jesus Christ. Guess what? We are His ambassadors in the world. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were more conscious then of that every day? Spirit of the living God, you're living inside of me. Praise God. We can wake up in the morning, no matter how we feel, knowing the Holy Spirit is living inside of you and me. And I can say, good morning, Holy Spirit. What do you have for me to do today? Whew, praise God. Could you speak to me and work through me to be a blessing to someone else today? I may lack the courage to act on my own. So, sweet Holy Spirit, would you just be bold through me? Because I don't have that boldness. It all comes from the Spirit. It's there. It's just down in you. It's in His Spirit. Everything is of the Spirit. If it's not of the Spirit, guess what? Then it's only me and my flesh. And that's why God gave us the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. If we don't have Him, guess what? We don't belong to Christ. But I know you have Him. How many know without a doubt you've been born again? Woo-wee. Amen. Amen. Are we where we need to be yet? Not really. Are we everything that we should be? No. What are we? We're a work in progress. Amen. And I thank God that He's still working on me. Amen. You may have arrived, but I haven't. It's okay. So here's a word then that we need to hear with our ears and see with our heart. I've gone over the hill now. I'm working my way down. Verse 10. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, meaning we're going to die, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. We've been proclaimed righteous. And now we're in right standing with God. We're not going to die like other folks. Talking about our spirit, man. Verse 11. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. The same Spirit that took Jesus' body, his corpse, and brought it back to life, that same Spirit will raise you and me from the dead. And Jesus will catch us up and away to be with him for all eternity. Our bodies may die and go to the grave, but our born-again spirit is now immortal because of the Holy Spirit living in us. The same Spirit, that raised Jesus from the dead, if he's in you, he will give life or quicken your mortal bodies, talking about your physical body. Now, that speaks, of course, primarily about when we die and our bodies are going to be turned into resurrection bodies one day, or when Christ returns and we're caught up in a rapture and our bodies are going to be changed. That's what it says, in the twinkling of an eye. Why is that? By what power? The same power, Brother Tony, that raised Jesus from the dead. What a privilege that we have been given. The Spirit that lives inside of me is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And we will not die and be like everybody else. We know the minute a believer dies that that's their body. But guess what? He or she's not there. We look at our loved one in that casket. That's their body. That's the old flesh. But we know they're not there. Why? Because as a believer, they're now with the Lord. What did Paul write? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And one day he's going to, in some mysterious way, I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to receive that resurrected body by the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. So now, here's my point. About my third closing. Nothing in this world is stronger than the power of the Holy Spirit. You can take that to the bank. And I don't guarantee banks very often. Not this day and time. Nothing the devil can throw at us is stronger. Demons manifesting themselves as angels of light or through teachers or manifesting themselves in various ways, the Holy Spirit is stronger. Oh, Pastor, I've been afflicted. The devil is after me all the day long. Praise his holy name. Stop that. No. If you believe yourself to be saved, then the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Let me take another swig. Hallelujah. I bet that's got some joy in it too. Praise God. Nothing the world can throw at us is stronger than the Holy Spirit. Nothing that the devil comes to us with is stronger than the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Let's remember that. And there's nothing in my flesh that is stronger than the Spirit of God within me. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Guess what? Those are our three enemies. If it's the pull of the world, the Holy Spirit is stronger. If it's the devil pulling at your coattail, bringing with him fear of every kind, worry and fret, you have the power within you to withstand that. Just say, no, not today, Satan. The Holy Spirit within us is stronger. My flesh, my old nature, and whether we want to admit it or not, it's in there, and it's always trying to rise up. I know mine does. Yet I'm here to remind us we really can overcome and be victorious over every thought that comes our way through the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. So why don't we determine then anew this Sunday morning that we will start trusting the Holy Spirit even more than we have in the past to break out in our lives. Trust Him to break out. Not just in our church, and guess what? Yes, we need Him to break out in our church. Amen. But how about in each of our individual lives? Whew, I want Him to do what He needs to do. Amen. If the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of you, then wouldn't it be nice if we could just see an outward manifestation? Let's say just a plain old eruption of the Spirit of God. How many get what I'm talking about? I want Him to erupt and mess up my norm. Amen. We need a blast to shake us loose. Amen. Holy Ghost blast. We need a word to change us, a boldness to come upon us. A miracle then as a testimony. Sister Patty shared a wonderful testimony today. Or how about just a strength, a download of wisdom that's not ours that we'll go and look at and go, whoa, what did I just do? That wasn't my nature to do that. What did I just do? What did I just say to that person? Well, what was that? Well, I know it was the Spirit of God that dwells down in you that is not work, that is now working through you. Nothing can beat that. Nothing can beat that. The early church needed, they knew they needed boldness, holy boldness, if they were going to fulfill God's purpose in the earth. So what did they do? They prayed for it. And God brought it out of them. They went out doing good. Nothing could stop them. Why? Because it wasn't them. How in the world could you do any better than having the Spirit of God bubbling up from within you, a well springing up? You can't do any better than that. What works better than the Spirit of God if the Spirit of God is leading and controlling and erupting and manifesting Himself in you and through you to be an influence around you in your circle of influence? We need to be contagious, don't we? There's just something about you. I just don't know what it is. Well, I know it's the Spirit of God living within me. Well, I need that. Why are you so joyful all the time? It's the Spirit down inside of me. Listen, there's nothing else that can do that. All right, hold on. Here we go. There's no cannabis plant, no pill, no infused gummy bear, no intoxicating drink, no smoke, no dip, no chew that can do what the Holy Spirit can do through the life of a believer. Did I cover all of it? I think I did. Aren't you glad we have the Holy Spirit? So this morning, listen, if you're struggling with something in your life, and now you realize you heard it from the preacher one more time, remember, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Woo! Understand, God's Spirit is going to do it. And He's inside of us. We don't have to beg for Him to come down anymore. Why? Because He's already there. He's ready to bubble up. If you're a Christian, He's there inside of us. What do you think He wants to do for us this morning? It's either help or hurt us. It's either to help us or to hurt us, and He's not going to hurt us. That's the tool of the devil. I'd say the Spirit of Jesus is here to help us. Amen. What could come against us that's stronger than Him? There's absolutely nothing. So let's get out of the way. Let's let God be God. Let the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do in our lives. Amen. Here we go, Sister Judy. It's not trying, it's trusting. I asked her before church, what's the word for today? She said, well, I can't get away from trusting. I said, woo, thank you, Lord. It's not us trying, it's us trusting Him. And guess what? It's called surrender. Surrender. Take time this week, even as we go through the book of John on Wednesday nights. But why don't you also take time, chew on Romans chapter 8 again. Get it down in your spirit. So now, I really am going to close. Would you put us some music on? Right where you're seated for just a few more minutes. As the music is playing in the background, I want you right where you are. Let's just sit for a moment longer. And would you just close your eyes? That way you've blotted out everything around you. Anyone battling with something in your life from the world or the flesh or the devil and you want it to change for you, the Holy Spirit is here right now to do a work in you. We don't have to shake you. We don't have to rub anything on you. The Holy Spirit will do His work right where you're at in the next few moments. He's already been working from the beginning. Every song that was sung, the Holy Spirit was here doing a work. So as you're sitting there, eyes closed, you can put your hand on your heart, you can put your hand on your belly, or you can just hold it open as just to receive in your lap there. I want to say a final prayer. I want to read this prayer. And I'm going to believe that the Holy Spirit, His power is going to do a work. Here we go. Are you ready? Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life anew to You once again. And in your spirit, you can say amen to that. You can agree. Power and agreement. We've already heard that. Holy Spirit, You're welcome to work in and through me. I thank You for complete victory in my life. Some folks are needing victory. The Holy Spirit is here. And I acknowledge that real victory will only come through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in me. We have the Holy Spirit within us. Lord, do Your work right now in our lives. Spirit of the living God, touch me in a fresh, new way right now. Just know He's doing that. He's touching our minds right now. Touching our bodies right now. I yield myself to You, Lord, right now. Do something new in my heart today. Sweet Holy Spirit, take control. I'm tired of trying. So Lord, once again, would You just take control of my life? Teach me how to walk by the Spirit. Give me thoughts from the Spirit and not from the flesh. Help me to close that door. Mighty power of God, work in me. Holy Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead, work in me. Work in my fellow believers. Work in this church body. Thank You, Lord, for renewed vision. He'll give us a renewed vision right now. Thank You, Lord, for boldness. He'll give you boldness right now. He's giving it to you. You got it. It's down within you. He's going to bring it out. Thank You, Lord, for renewed desire to fulfill Your purpose in my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's all